Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, the radio show providing up-to-date information on various health topics. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham, celebrating 25 years since 1992, 25 years of customer care and quality nutritional supplements. At The Healthy Habit, we help you to help yourself with your health one step at a time. Our topic today is liver and gallbladder health, and joining us again this month is Dr. Brock McGregor. In 2012, Dr. McGregor returned to his hometown Chatham to practice naturopathic medicine after interning at the Robert Shad Naturopathic Clinic in Toronto and the Canadian Clinic of Integrative Medicine in Windsor. Dr. McGregor has a general practice with special interest in sports medicine and cancer therapy. Good morning, Dr. And welcome back again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So last month, Doctor, we talked about some liver functions and how it's this very intricate piece of biology and doing something like 500 different functions. Mm-hmm. And we talked about what it does with proteins and cholesterol and enzymes, and also talked about a good lifestyle to avoid non-alcoholic fatty liver. But, Doctor, we also maybe touched on hormones a little bit last month. Mm-hmm. But what's that role it plays with hormones?
Yeah, so when we look at hormonal function in the liver does produce a few hormones of its own that are generally used in production of blood cells. But perhaps when the most important thing we think about with a hormonal relationship to the liver is the way we excrete hormones by using our liver. So how the liver conjugates hormones, so basically inactivates them and allows us to get rid of them. So it really is a set point for controlling hormonal regulation. When we're looking at other neuroendocrine organs that are producing hormones, that certainly is a very important aspect of hormonal regulation. But with the liver acting as a checkpoint, if liver function is poor or suboptimal, you're going to have suboptimal hormonal function as well.
So it's both producing some hormones and breaking down others.
Yes, yeah.
So does that mean, that would imply to me then that there's a shelf life on hormones in
the
body?
Yeah, so essentially what's happening with most hormones is they're sort of going around in your circulation, and as they go through the liver will add a molecule to them that then allows them to be excreted, you know, through bile into your digestive tract and then ultimately out of your body.
So we think of hormones as the thyroid or the adrenals.
Mm-hmm. Sex hormones like testosterone and
estrogens. And so on.
Yeah.
So, but these are different. What the liver would produce is obviously different from them.
Yeah. So it there's a few like thrombopoietin, some different hormones of that nature that act on other tissues to make them produce platelets or blood cells.
Okay. So if hormones aren't broke down and they're still in the system and not being broke down or removed, then there's side effects to that?
Oh, yeah. So you'll get these hormonal dysregulation type issues. So we can see things like worsening of hot flashes menopausally, poor energy, changes in metabolic function. So that's how quickly you burn carbohydrates or other fuels.
Yeah.
So you can really have a sort of a whole host of issues from this hormonal dysregulation. And often what you'll see is we see it clinically when treating patients that have some type of hormonal issue is that a primary part of that treatment is ensuring that the liver is provided with those substrates, those nutrients that make you able to metabolize hormones appropriately.
Another function of the liver is its association with blood. Now, what's its role with the blood?
So the liver has a very, very sort of robust supply of blood to it, and that's because it's essentially the first area that we're accessing nutrients that we've absorbed through our digestion, and the liver is dealing with all those chemicals. And that's what we term the first pass effect. So when you take a pharmaceutical, let's say, orally, it's digested, and then it will go through your liver. Your liver will modify it, and that's part of the activation of that pharmaceutical. When that chemical comes back through the liver again, when it's sort of done what it's doing, it'll be modified one more time in a reaction called a phase two reaction, and that's when it's able to be excreted. So when we're taking things orally and we're using medications or even some natural health products, if liver function is suboptimal or we don't really know what's going on with it, we can actually adversely affect the circulating level of a pharmaceutical or of a natural health product. We avoid that, for instance, when we give things intravenously, directly into the bloodstream, or intramuscularly as well.
So the liver filters the blood.
Yeah, essentially it's the first place that you're getting these either nutrients or toxins or whatever you're exposed to digestively. That's sort of the first checkpoint it has in your body.
So I think I read that it filters what, 1 liter of blood per minute?
It's a pretty big number. Yeah, it's interesting to think just how quickly that's working to detoxify, to remove chemicals, and to activate different nutrients and things that we're exposed to in the environment.
And that 13% of our blood is in the liver at any given moment.
Yeah. So
it's an 8-inch organ approximately, right?
Yeah. So you think it's really got a pretty substantial blood supply going through there, and it's really that checkpoint, that stop that the blood makes before it gets to the rest of your organs.
Yeah. So toxins can be in the body, mm-hmm. either internally or from external sources, like if we eat or drink something with additives. Mm-hmm. The air we breathe can have toxins, what we absorb through our skin. Mm-hmm. And then there's the waste products that are within the cellular activity and the different functions of the body. Mm-hmm. So these toxins are, again, going through the liver. They're being filtered out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're getting exposed to liver cells as they run through that blood supply. They're being modified by different enzymes in the liver, putting either different methyl groups, things that molecules from different amino acids onto them to change their chemical structure and thereby their activity. The liver is such an involved organ that it's really doing that to a whole host of different things. So it's doing it to hormones that we're producing endogenously. It's doing it to chemicals we might be exposed to through our food or through the environment. It's certainly doing it to pharmaceuticals, alcohol, different things we're exposed to.
So it's the liver's detoxing all the time then?
Yeah, so it's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week job. And when we think about sometimes the fad of detoxification, it's not like the liver's got an on and off switch. You don't really turn it off and have it doing nothing over a period of time and then ramp it up once in a while. So when we look at detoxification processes, getting rid of fat soluble toxins, repairing damage from past pharmaceutical use, it's not a short-term process. So we're generally not doing, 10-day things or 4-day things. Yeah. What we're looking at is providing nutrients over an extended period of time, modifying the diet, modifying lifestyle to really allow that detoxification to occur. When you think about it at a really simple level, it's just like any equation. So your liver can work at a certain speed. It can handle a certain load. If you decrease how much you're taking in the way of toxins, you're going to have a net benefit. So you're going to be detoxifying more than you're taking in, and you're going to essentially be sort of winning that battle. Now, if you're pumping full of a whole bunch of different toxins, your liver's not going to be able to keep up with that, and you're going to have a more toxic, so to speak, situation.
So there's not going to be a simple answer to this, of course, but how does the liver then transform harmful toxins into harmless substances?
Yeah, so it's really a biochemical process.
Sure.
So essentially what it's generally doing is changing either the solubility or some aspect of that nutrient.
So solubility, for example, I know there's some things that are fat soluble that changes to water soluble.
Yeah, so
processes. It's a transformation taking place there.
And if you look at, you think of those ball and stick figures of molecules.
Yeah.
Basically, what it's usually doing is sticking on another sort of ball and stick to that molecule, which then allows that molecule to be excreted through the digestive tract and eliminated that way. So it's really taking these molecules, transforming what they look like to our body, and then our body's able to get them out.
So it uses enzymes as well, eh?
Yeah, so all those processes are mediated or facilitated by different enzymes. So we look at things like B vitamins or magnesium, different amino acids. They're all required for some of those processes. And all those processes are a little bit different, so they're using different constituents. They happen over different periods of time. They can handle different load sizes, so to speak.
So like we talked about enzymes in our last show. Just explain again what an enzyme is.
So an enzyme is basically a constituent of a chemical reaction that isn't necessarily consumed in that reaction. So it's basically a mediator or a facilitator of a of an ongoing process.
Like a catalyst.
Yeah, a catalyst, yeah.
Okay. Now what's conjugation?
Conjugation is sort of a fancy term for sticking a methyl or other type of molecular group onto a chemical. So,
but that's because the liver uses conjugation to dispose of toxins as well.
Yeah, so that's one of those processes where it's essentially moving a molecular constituent from one molecule to another. So whether it's using that off an amino acid or another molecule, it's basically changing the function of the molecule of interest to make it easier to eliminate.
Yeah. So you said before that if we to get a net value, you have to be putting less toxins in to get a greater net value.
Yeah.
So the liver can be overloaded.
Oh yeah. So when we look at chronic aggressive pharmaceutical use, that's one of the things that we look at is how it affects the liver, and often people need some support after those types of treatments to return liver function to normal. If we're looking at really high exposure to alcohol, of course, that's another instance where the liver can't keep up with the need to detoxify and undergo some damage.
We've talked about a few of the symptoms a little while ago, but what are some indications that maybe my liver is not functioning at peak performance level?
Yeah, so serious symptoms that people will see, are excess itching or yellowing of skin. Those
maybe
are
the jaundice.
Yeah,
thing.
The classic signs we think of. But there's some other signs that we look at to think, oh, maybe we can improve this situation and make the liver function a little bit better. So when we see things like constipation, so inability to eliminate, that's certainly something that we want to address so that your liver can function better. When we're seeing other signs of sort of toxic burdens, so skin issues, hormonal dysregulation, then we start thinking, how can we involve the liver in this in the treatment of this condition?
So chronic fatigue as well, and allergies, sensitivities.
Yeah, and often all those are linked through the liver and digestion as well. So we'll see poor digestion as a key component, and often that's influencing liver function and then influencing that physiological process.
So, Doctor, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and after the break, we'll come back and we'll talk about the liver and we'll talk about its association with the gallbladder.
Okay.